we went to Malaya. I was made second in command of my company, the actual second in command. Didn't get on well with anybody. He was a brilliant young man, but he couldn't get on with other people, and I don't know that's where he disappeared to, but I was given his job. And for the last 6 months of the our freedom in the Malaya, I was to ICLA company, which was sent down to an isolated position at, on the a river in northern Johor, a river with a beautiful name, as most Malay words are beautiful, but the Sungai Sedili Besar. Our job was to protect for a boom made of heavy logs. We had to keep it in good condition. We had six riverboats under command, two of them with a 3-pound gun, and each capable of carrying 30 men. It was a 30-metre English gunboat, the Fan Ling, later destroyed by the Japs. And we sat there for 3 months in this heavy rainforest, surrounded by monkeys, and letting off our booby traps and our landmines, our anti-personnel mines that we had, which was very, very bad. Very bad training for us, because well, we worked very hard indeed, but it wasn't battalion training. It wasn't training for actually for active campaigning. Still, I see I had to, on an allowance of a penny halfpenny a day per man, I had to go off with my Malay English dictionary in one hand and buy all the fruit for the company. And they all swore it was the most fresh fruit they ever saw at their time in Malaya. And so we stayed there until the night we heard the eerie noise of bombers passing overhead. We knew instantly it was war. It was just sort of instinct told us that it was war. It was something. We had no, there was no warning anywhere. Possibly if there was any indication, our intelligence didn't know about it. But they bombed Singapore, which had all its lights on. They couldn't miss. That was when we decided we would war. We would war too. Modern equipment was sent down to us. Bren guns were sent down to us. And soon after, we were told we were leaving Boomtown. We had to rejoin the battalion further up in the north, in the, right up in the north of Johor, which is well down the peninsula, really. So it happens for the first time the battalion got together. We saw our colonel again. We never saw him in the 3 months in Malaya. We didn't see our medical officer or our padre. Our medical officer, a splendid man, but he wasn't sent down to see how we're getting along, if we're medically fit or not, if anybody was sick, and I don't think anybody ever was. Right through the 6 weeks of the fighting, with almost no sleep, which amounted to this fighting and had to be one long retreat. Fighting is rear guard action or occasional your bayonet charge, supported this time by artillery which you never heard before. Our artillery the troops supporting us, the 2nd 15th artillery, became the proud owners of 25 pounders, which they used to very good effect, very often blazing away straight up the road where Jap tanks were coming down. But it was a terrible shellacking. I feel most of the colonels were too old to have been to be battalion colonels under those trying conditions and conditions of sleepless conditions. The campaign was fought not by a commander in chief as such, who was the governor of Malaya, whose main concern was not to alarm the natives. He didn't want the civilians to be evacuated. Finally, he allowed the women and children, or many of them, as many as could be, to be evacuated, but most of them were caught. It was terribly sad, the way they were interned and treated by the Japs. But the high command consisted of a committee, really, squabbling amongst themselves for example, the Air Force commander, he wanted airfields way up in the north, right up in the border of Burma and Thailand, which could not be defended by the army. It wasn't possible for them to have adequate defences right up there. So consequently, the Japs landed straight there, took the airfields, and had a firm base to attack us.